ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. KFNC at KFNC HD2 on Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers. You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. Our Astros, winners, baby. Winners last night, 4-3.
Chicken dinner.
Nice start in Seattle.
Who's your favorite Astro right now? I'm going to ask you again. I'm going to see if it changes. Favorite Jake? Jake Odorizzi? Jake Mariznick?
Jake Myers might be my favorite Astro, period.
So he's definitely your favorite Jake. He's overtaken. He's overtaken Mariznick?
He's just got past Odorizzi.
As number one?
As number one.
So Mariznick was three.
Mariznick. That's he That's struck out 100 times.
You mean the World Series champ?
He struck out in 100 at bats. He had 50 strikeouts.
You mean World Series champ Jake Odorizzi? I mean Jake Mariznick?
Yeah. Yeah. That's like
Jake Myers.
You mean Will Perdue, the NBA champ? Okay.
Yeah, he's a starter. Jake Myers is your favorite Astro.
Jake Myers is my favorite Astro, period. Maybe of all time.
All right, who's your favorite Astro right now? 713-780-3776.
Who's your favorite?
Your favorite Astro, it's just a real quick, we don't even need your name. We don't even need your name. 713-780-3776. My favorite,
favorite Astro
right now is Carlos Correa. I'm going to continue to try to butter him up, get him to stay.
Why don't you just...
Did you see there's a list of, I'm going to pull it up.
God, he's,
it was sent to both
slobbering.
Of us.
Slobbering.
It was sent to both of us. It was a list where baseball players were polled about who the favorite or who the best were at all the different. Oh man, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to find this. Anyway, is who the best were at every single position? You know, the different positions, and it was best shortstop. Carlos wasn't even in the top three in the American League.
What?
Yeah. He was number two on arm. He was number two
Stop,
on arm.
Stupid. This is a stupid. Who put this out?
It was like, I'm trying to find it. It was Major League Baseball players were asked about it, and they had their list. And I was blown away that Carlos Correa.
No, they don't like him. That's why.
Was not in the top
three. That's why. He should have won the... He should have won the Gold
Glove. But he was number two.
That was a pretty good question that they had on the game last night. That was a pretty good question about awards. But let's get some calls in here. First, Ocho. Who's your favorite Astro right now, Ocho?
Right now.
My favorite Astro is Luis Gilberto Garcia.
Oh, I like it. I like it. I respect
it. Listen, his hair is off the charts. Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. You don't see a ponytail that thick and luscious like Luis Garcia's. It is awesome.
Yeah, I'm the president and CEO of his fan club. I love his pitching repertoire. You know, he just needs to fine-tune all of his mechanics and get consistent with his mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
But what I wanted to talk about is the decision to pull him in the fifth inning. I don't know whose decision. I don't know if it was Dusty's decision or if it was analytically driven by the people above him. But to me, this doesn't seem like a Dusty move. Old school Dusty is going to leave him in there and give him a chance to pitch out of his own mess, especially when he had done so one inning before with runner on third and no outs. So to pull him there to me made no sense. And then you compound it by replacing him with one of your better relievers. You bring in Bruce Raley, who you seem to have some kind of love affair with. And the thing with Bruce Raley is, even on his best days, he may get one batter out, and then you'll press your luck, and the next batter, he gets burned by. And it always seems to happen with him. So I just don't understand the decision to remove Garcia at 76 pitches. He had proven his worth the inning before to pitch out of a jam, and then you remove him for a lesser pitcher. I trust Luis Garcia, his C game, better than I trust Brooks Raley's A game.
Yeah.
So I don't understand the decision.
Well, here's the deal about it, though, is Luis Garcia has pitched more innings than he ever has, more outings, more starts, more everything Let's not forget, this guy was not that long ago in single A. He bypassed triple, double and triple A. He just came to the big leagues. So I think they're handling him with kid gloves. And I think that's a reason why you're not seeing his pitch count get up there or more innings. I think they're just saying, we love you. We want to get five innings out of you every fifth day. That's plenty. You're doing great. Let's just keep it up, and we'll hope the bullpen holds on. That's, I think, the way that they're handling Luis Garcia right now, because they do want him to be able to – listen, it's exhausting. It's exhausting, all those, you know, charters and five-star hotels and, you know – no, honestly, it's exhausting. Big league starts every 5 days, and by the end of the season, especially a young guy that has not gone through this yet – he could be exhausted by playoff time, and you need him in the playoffs. So I don't know that it's a horrible way to handle him. I'd much rather see Luis Garcia in the sixth inning than Brooks Raley, but I understand it. I get it.
They're just following their process him.
That's all.
They're not going to change it.
Let's get LSU Brian in here. Your favorite Astro. Who's your favorite Astro, LSU Brian?
Man, good morning, guys. So favorite Astro in because of the LSU ties, always will be Bregman until he leaves. But I tell you what, Jake Myers is he's a man. This dude come up and he's been maybe one of the most consistent hitters, 15 games or so he's been here? So, of course, it's Bregman all time for right now, but Jake is on his heels, man. And I tell you what, a bonus – I'll give y'all a bonus on who I dislike right now the most, and that's got to be Pawpaw. I really think he may cost us one in the playoffs. Now, the managers in most sports, the least valuable manager in any sport would be baseball, but he scares me. He's going to throw a reliever or somebody out there that doesn't need to be out there. And just like the other night, like the caller before me was saying, he could cost you a game, man.
Yeah. Some of his, obviously, every manager, AJ cost you a game, and it was game 7 of the World Series. You know, every manager, you're going to question their moves. Dusty, yeah, sometimes. But you know what? He wasn't working with chicken salad in that bullpen for most of the year. When
it's changed,
when Urquidy comes, you bolster it more. The moves that Click has made, Graveman, Maton got the win last night. That was nice. You know, they're going to be better, and you're going to see. Hopefully, he'll rely heavily on the better guys when the playoffs come, but we'll see. And hopefully, he won't have nearly the quick hook that he's been having. But I'll tell you, it's a long season. I've disagreed with him taking a Greinke out at times. I've disagreed with taking, like you said, we just talked about Garcia.
All the players that were polled, Dusty came up number 2 manager.
How much they like him?
In American League.
Well, Dusty is beloved by players. He's a player's guy. He played the game. Everybody who played for him loves him. He's been pawpaw for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And so I certainly understand it. But Dusty is just beloved. When you got to watch. I mean, there's a lot of fans where he managed that aren't nearly as enamored with him because of some of his moves. But players love him. Players love him. Let's get Spencer in here before we take a break. Spencer, who's your favorite Astro?
Jake Myers. He's a legitimate hitter. He's a fantastic center fielder. That catch that he made against the wall the other day was just absolutely out of this world, and the reason I love him is because it shows that Click kind of knows what he's doing. I wasn't a huge fan of Straw, but it still takes guts to trade your starting center fielder when you're in first place, and it also makes me feel better about these rankings that are out there that the Astros don't have a great farm system, because you know Myers wasn't this big heralded prospect, but hey, he's now your starting center fielder, so it's just pretty fantastic, because it gives when you can develop guys like that, it gives you payroll flexibility to do other stuff, because you don't have to overpay for other players. All right.
Thanks. Yep. Man. Are you kidding? You get a guy that you've got under control for 6 years that's playing like this in his first couple months in the big leagues? That is so, so unbelievably huge, huge that he's playing like this. If you've got your center fielder of the future that wasn't even thought to be, I mean, a lot of, like Tucker, how long did we hear about Tucker? Tucker, Forrest Whitaker, how long? We couldn't trade him because they're such hot commodities. Hey, did anybody hear Jake Meyer's name before he got up to the big leagues?
No, not really.
Unbelievable.
Well, I mean, there was talk about him in minor league circles, and Astros fans talking about him, but not like one of the big boys that were going to leave a lasting imprint. It was more like, hey, this is a guy who could get called up and maybe be on the 40 man, but not when you had Straw and McCormick. It didn't look like that was a possibility. The Astros, I give James Click a lot of credit. He basically said, okay, what does Myers bring versus what, and Myers may be outperforming what they expected. There's a good chance that's happening too. But what does Myers bring and what does Straw bring? The only thing Straw has over any of these guys really is just speed. That's not even true. They say Jake Myers is actually faster than Straw, if that's humanly possible.
In a straight line, yeah.
But in a straight line, now you may have a little better range than center fielder, but if the speed is similar and one guy's a better hitter and the other two guys, when you look at the McCormick and Myers combination, it's certainly more powerful. Why? You know, with all due respect to Straw lovers, there was nothing that Straw gave you.
Myers drafted?
He was drafted like 16th round?
13th.
Okay.
13th round. He opted out of his NCAA eligibility to sign with the Astros. He had never slugged more than 500 in any minor league season prior to going to Sugarland. And all of a sudden, what the bleep? Holy crap. He came out of nowhere. And he hit 343, 408 on base, and a 598 slugging with 16 home runs. For Sugarland, and they said, "Let's get rid of Straw, put McCormick in center, and see if this kid can play." Now McCormick's like, "What the hell? I thought I was supposed to. I thought you said Spider. Man, what the hell? This guy comes out of nowhere, and now I can't get back on the field." And guess what, McCormick? Sorry, you can't get back on the field.
But where you can go is Texas Custom Patios. You can come watch games with me in my patio. I mean, this patio is terrific. When I say patio, I feel like I undersell it. It's an outdoor living space. And if you want to see the difference between what you think of as a patio and what I now think of, go to TexasCustomPatios.com. If you go there, you can see a list of their different types of work that they do. I'll give you an example. Patio covers, outdoor living rooms, outdoor kitchens, outdoor fireplaces, decorative patios, the different types of roofs that they build. They've got ceilings and columns. They got the gable style roof, which is what I have, which creates that, you know, that vaulted ceiling space where you have so much room and it gives you so much space. Their design team is awesome. And when you get a drawing and a rendering from them, it looks exactly like what you're going to get. The price point for what you pay, you are going to get that value. And more. Not only is it going to look great, but it's going to maintain its value when it comes time to sell your home. Check out all the great work that they do at TexasCustomPatios.com. And when it's time to get started, make sure you set up your consultation because it is a game changer at your house. Turn your house into a home with TexasCustomPatios.com.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5. On ESPN 97.5.
Dot Ox.
Patrolling the Houston sports radio scene for 20 years. Well, minus a few years where Lance took a little detour. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hi, welcome back on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So I casually was going, I was out watching ESPN, and I looked up and IMG is beating Bishop Sycamore 58-0. And I think they finally scored. I think they got a touchdown. Bishop Sycamore did. This Bishop Sycamore story is fantastic. This is going to be a 30 for 30.
It could be more. I mean, it could be a 30 for 30. I was thinking, I don't even want to see it as a movie. I'd rather see it as a 30 for 30 because it is a documentary.
Have you seen their schedule? Apparently, they've got a schedule. They don't even have a school. The address of the school is a duplex, like two houses that are attached to each other. That's the address of that they have down as their school. And it listed a bit that the school Duncanville is playing. It appears to be a duplex. The other address listed on their Max Preps accounts lists the Franklin University Library Building as their address.
We're going to get a writer on. I've either got Zach Barnett from Football Scoop or Zion Olojide, who writes for Complex, and he's got, like, he talked to a former player. I'm reading some of the stuff. The kid said, when I played there, he goes, I was 15. Guys on the team were 19 and 20. He said, we never even went. They tried to get us to go to a community library one day to, like, school. He said, it was late October. We were almost done with our season. He said, that's the only time. He said, I lived in a hotel for 5 months. We never paid for anything. They supposedly wrote checks. He said, the checks bounced. So there's an active arrest warrant for the coach. Like, this is an active arrest warrant for fraud for the coach who also defrauded a church, I guess, for money for this.
He
recruited kids by telling them they were going to be on Netflix.
Well, why would you do this if you're the coach? Why would you go on ESPN? Why would you want to be on ESPN? Dude,
are you kidding? You made it.
No, you didn't. Now you got an active arrest warrant.
But why would you post when you steal stuff? Why would you go on Facebook and Twitter Instagram?
Well, you're dumb. That's dumb, though.
Yeah, there's dumb people. Yeah. I have now... I stopped trying to say, why would you do this? I say, okay, I'm assuming people are super dumb. So this is a super dumb person. To him, it's like, we made it.
Yeah.
This is everything he wanted.
You know what, though? Here's the deal. I mean, he gets through all of this stuff and everything else. A book deal or a 30 for 30 or whatever deal writes this. He writes this thing. This could be a movie.
If he's smart.
Yeah.
If he's smart.
Well, he's
not smart. But Andrew, if he has representation, Ivins, who says, listen.
Andrew Ivins tweeted this. Reading so many stories on Bishop Sycamore today. So let me share this one. They played a defender on Sunday that's originally a 2020 from Florida. So he was supposed to graduate in 2020. Kid has reported over two dozen fake offers. Showed up once to a 7-on-7 tryout and used a fake ID. His huddle is also fake. This is amazing.
This story is truly... whoever at ESPN... You realize, John, you've been in TV. Your wife literally works in TV. Whoever vetted this and decided this is the team that we need to get on television to play IMG Academy, which is nothing but recruited all-stars. Like,
right.
A team full of five-stars is what it is. I'll tell you the most shocking part. They got to be, what, 58-0?
Yeah.
The most shocking part is that it was only 58, and I'm not joking about that. The fact that only 58 points was scored in this game against a team who was playing their second game in 3 days. This is their second game in 3 days. The kid said they don't practice. He's like, we show up at games is all we do.
So look at this. IMG Academy played them last year and beat them 56-6. And so they played them again.
They've been around. Apparently,
yeah, they've been around for a while. Bishop Sycamore was 0-6 last season, outscored 227-42. And yet they convinced ESPN, a fake school, to put them on national television against IMG. So ESPN put out a statement that said, Bishop Sycamore told us they had a number of Division I prospects on their roster. To be frank.
And we just believed them.
A lot of that we could not verify.
What?
Yeah.
There's recruiting services. ESPN, you have recruiting services. You have a recruiting service. It's called like the ESPN 350.
You might have asked one of your high school people about Bishop Sycamore. You might have. I don't know. At some point, you know, you do? Who are your players? Okay, let me look. None. Zero. Zero prospects. Zero.
All right, we're going to have at 8:30, coming up in 7 minutes, we're going to have Zion Olojide, who wrote the article in Complex Sports, interviewing the kid who played for Bishop Sycamore. He's got all the information from a player who was on the team who spilled the beans on everything that went on with that team. We'll have Zion on here in about 8 minutes. I'm just telling you right now, you need to hear the story. If you don't know the story about Bishop Sycamore, it's one of the great cons of all time, and it is going to go down as like a legendary. It has to be a 30 for 30. A team who basically, it's not like they came on out of nowhere. They have been around, but it's like a charter school with no school at all, who followed absolutely no rules, with a head coach who has an active arrest warrant, who apparently defrauded a church and wrote a bunch of hot checks. They don't have a building. Like, there is no school. They try to get them to go to a library one time for school. Like, okay, here's our school. You guys go to this library.
Well, that was the Franklin Library that they put down as their address, because one time they tried to get the kids to go there. And this is kind of funny. It's like how Paragon Marketing is who sets up these football and basketball games.
They're
these
high the school. One who's gonna
Paragon team. Marketing Group. From the companies, Paragon works with ESPN programming to select the top regular season football and basketball games in the country, typically airing around 25 games annually. We coordinate the schedules, sell, integrate sponsorships, and manage event logistics on site. And we did zero research on Bishop Sycamore. I don't know how ESPN can continue to do business with Paragon after this, because, well, boy, did they look like idiots.
Well, I'll tell
idiots.
You what, there, somebody who's that well-connected, there's either a kickback involved, or that's a favor to somebody just thinking no one's going to know. Bishop Sycamore played last year. They got the brakes beaten off of them. The same thing will happen this year. Only once you throw stuff on TV,
they were 0-6, outscored 227-42. How do you not even look to see their schedule last year?
They knew. That's what I'm saying.
Well, that's why
they knew this is something that they willingly, they willingly did something shady. There's no way that a company whose sole job is to put games together, they knew what they were doing.
Well, we're going to have to ask them, what's the end game for Bishop Sycamore coaches and who's ever paying the money for these kids, whatever?
The end game was to eventually bring the top players there. They were recruiting and become a powerhouse and get big salaries out of it. You know, a lot of these schools have become powerhouses. They want to become...
Well, like, they wanted to be IMG.
They said they wanted to be the IMG of the Midwest, is what they said.
Yeah.
So coming up here in about 4 minutes, Zion Alogide from Complex Sports, he wrote an article about this Bishop Sycamore, which truly is, if you don't know about it now, it's like trending on Twitter. There's 105,000 comments right now or tweets about it. It is one of the more interesting sports/non-sports story. And Zion got an inside look with a player who was formerly on the team. So we'll give you the heads up coming up here in just a second.
All right. Right now, though, I'm talking about my hair again. And I want to tell you, I love Doc Lindell, and I love...
Bragger about this.
I can't,
it's kind of a humble brag a lot that you're doing about your hair. Well, when that other guy came in and said, I ought to look into this.
Well, I had to move my hair around, but you know what? I didn't move it around. Doc Linville did with the Neo
Graphic. This is why you don't like Jake Mariznick. But it's still mine. You feel like Mariznick's in your space now.
Yeah, it's not like I have something fake. It's not like I'm not ashamed at all of it. You know what I did? I moved my hair around. Oh, well. So, and guess what? You know who did it? The best in the business is Doc Lindell. And you know how easy the process was? It was easy. It was wonderful. And it's something that if you're somebody who needs to move your hair around from the side to the top, it's done. Come on. Let's go. Doc Lindell is here right now. He's sitting there at 975hair.com. You'll get your consultation. You'll talk to the doc. He'll give you all the details about what he does and how he does it and everything else. Listen, you will love everything about this, every single step of the way. The doc is awesome. And what's awesome is in about 7 or 8 months, you're going to have hair. At 975hair.com, that's 975hair.com.
The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, this Bishop Sycamore thing is unbelievable. We got Zion Alogide with us here from Complex Sports, and he is here. He wrote the article with the kid. He's got the kid admitting to everything. Zion, welcome to the show. How are you?
Appreciate y'all having me.
So how'd you get onto this, and how'd you find the kid, and is this like the most unbelievable story you've ever written about?
I would say I found out. I kind of found out when everyone else found out with, I think, the report from Awful Announcing. They released kind of details of their research yesterday. And then, obviously, I think we posted it to Complex on the site, and it kind of blew up from there, from our platform. But yeah, as it was going viral, I think one of the kids just reached out to me, Aaron Boyd, on Instagram. And at first I was kind of like, is this guy just trying to, you know, benefit off of what's going viral, and is he actually accurate? But he sent me a lot of videos of him actually at COF Academy, which is formerly, obviously, which is the former name for Bishop Sycamore. And he said he had a story to tell. He was very open, and he just let the dark secrets out.
Describe, now I've read your interview, but for our listeners, describe what the quote unquote school was, and what took place in quote unquote school.
You mean describe Bishop Sycamore?
Yeah. What the kid found, how he was recruited, what he was told was going to be the case, and what was actually the case.
Oh yeah, so he was recruited from an Adidas All-American camp, actually, when he was in high school, when he was about 15 years old. And the whole recruitment process was insane, because obviously they were promised a lot of things that, you know, actually didn't happen. I mean, for the first part, they actually took a tour of some type of facility. It wasn't the team's facility, but they masked it as the team's facility. And he actually sent me a video. It's on my Twitter, my personal account, of him actually taking that tour. And the caption is, "We're going to be on Netflix, actually." And that was another thing they told him. They told him that, you know, they were going to be on a show, and they were going to be on Netflix. And they tried to kind of mask this as the IMG Academy of the Midwest. And they lied to him. Like he said, they lied to him. And when he got to the school, there was no campus at all. In fact, they didn't even have housing. They put him in hotels for 5 months. So it's a lot of, you know, lies were told in the process. And it's a dark story.
What's going to happen with the coach?
I mean, I have no idea. I would assume that with this, you know, being a little out there now to the national scene, that something would happen. But this isn't new. This isn't like just something that came about today or yesterday or last week. This has been going on for years, and people have actually written about it locally in Ohio for years. And I just don't think people really cared until, you know, it got on the national stage where ESPN was involved, and obviously now it's, you know, on a greater scale. So I don't know what's going to happen with him. I hope there's some type of change. I hope, you know, there's some consequences for this, but you just never know.
Zion Elijah Day is with us from Complex Sports, and he wrote an article. I had an interview basically with a kid who played at Bishop Sycamore. For those who don't know, it's a school that is basically like a fake charter school. I can't even, there's no way it would be accredited. They don't have an actual school. The kids said they played played two games in 3 days. There was no, in your interview, you found that the former player said they didn't even practice. They just showed up at games is what they did. Their school was basically going to a community library one time in October.
Yeah, there was no type of education whatsoever. There was no structure. Like you said, during the season, I think they practiced before the season, but during the season, there was no practice. And I mean, 2 games in 3 days. I mean, I played football in high school, and 2 games in 3 days with a limited roster, 30 players, like, that is insane. That is a crime. That is wrong. So yeah, it's just a lot of wild things, and I've been even told by people, you know, in the media industry, that this is not the only case. There's a lot of these cases around the country, and hopefully, you know, this changes.
Yeah, Zion, we appreciate it. You can find it at Complex Sports, the article about Bishop Sycamorethy. Not with something that's not really real. Somebody said, is it a coincidence that their initials are BS? Bishop Sycamore? I don't think so. I don't think that's a coincidence. So good stuff, Zion. We appreciate you hanging with us. Continued success.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right. Zion Olajide here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. All right. I'm going to ask you this, Lance. 33rd team put out, NFL teams will regret these five moves this season. Will the Panthers regret passing on Justin Fields?
Yes. This season or just in general?
Well,
they drafted J.C. Horn. I think they will regret it, yeah. I think most, but you know who else they could regret passing on is Mac Jones. I was not a Mac Jones believer. I wasn't a Josh Allen believer, but Josh Allen is more than maybe a believer. And Mac Jones, we'll see how it plays out, but I think Justin Fields and Mac Jones, I think the odds of them not regretting passing on one of those guys, basically just one of them has to hit.
Yeah.
One of them has to hit. And they weren't looking for, once it got Sam Darnold, they weren't looking for quarterback. So I get that. But boy, you're going to have, if Mac Jones hits, you could say, man, you guys like Mac Jones. Joe Brady supposedly liked Mac Jones. Why didn't you do it? If Justin Fields hits, you're going to say, why didn't you guys take, you know, yeah. It's the same way the Cleveland Browns took a lot of heat for not drafting Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
For quite a few years. Why didn't you do that? You had the pick.
Yeah.
You could have done it. So I think so.
Jaguars passing on offensive line. I think this is a little hindsight because Etienne's hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, if Etienne was healthy and he had a big season, then you'd go,
Jaguars, I can't say that.
Yeah. I mean, that's too hard. Bengals not building around Burrow. They did take his wide receiver.
Well, I mean, they did draft. They took his wide receiver. What does that mean? You know who everyone wanted? Penei Sewell. He's not been good in a preseason. So, no. They literally drafted a skill position player that is his guy.
Yeah.
So I don't even know what that question.
Well, even means. But not even drafting, but putting money into it. Less than 8% of the money of their $82 million guaranteed dollars for a free agency went to the offensive line.
Well, but the only question was,
eight of their nine top free agent signings have gone to defense.
Okay, well, that's one of them.
Right.
I'll look up. I mean, did you want to draft Penei Sewell? Because I thought that would have been a mistake.
Well, no, they said you're just using it on even veterans, you know, somehow.
Well, now that's how I thought. I thought they should have gone after Villanueva, Charlie, or what's his name? Villanueva from the Steelers. I thought they should have gone. Yeah, I thought they should have gone after him. Instead, they got Riley Reiff, who's a veteran, Michael Jordan, who was at Ohio State, Quentin Spain, who was with the Tennessee Titans at one point. I think he was a cast off. And then Jonah Williams. You got to remember, Jonah Williams didn't play last year. He was hurt. So Jonah Williams is back as a starting tackle. So you have a first rounder at left tackle. You got Riley Reiff, a veteran at right tackle. Your tackle was addressed by basically getting back a healthy Jonah Williams and bringing in a veteran in Riley Reiff. I don't kill them for that. They did. Now, I would have liked to have seen Villanueva there, but I think it's okay. I don't have a problem with it.
Chicago moving on from Charles Leno Jr.
Yeah,
they had to sign Jason Peters.
Maybe so. Yeah. Well, it's because Tevin Jenkins, they drafted a tackle, but Tevin Jenkins' back is so bad that he's out with a back surgery and he may not play this year. So they actually drafted a tackle. I don't know. That doesn't feel like a fair question. They just had an injury that didn't heal up properly. So I don't know if that's fair or not. They drafted a tackle. The tackle just can't play. That's why Jason Peters is.
And then finally, the Lions drafting Penei Sewell. They will regret it.
They may, but I didn't think it was a bad move at the time.
It's early for him.
Yeah, it's super early.
Yeah.
It's super early.
Where did you have him drafted?
I thought he would get drafted around. I thought he could fall all the way to the Cowboys or potentially get drafted around that spot. There was like a sweet spot of, where was he, nine? Pick seven or nine?
Seventh.
Okay. Yeah, I thought 7 through 10 was where he could potentially land.
Because
you had Carolina was 8, 10 was the Cowboys, 7 was Detroit. those were all places that I could have seen tackle drafted.
Yeah, but you had, didn't you have?
I had Rashawn Slater.
Yeah.
He's another guy that's a little injured right now, but Sewell's going to take a while. He's a young guy who's playing a new position at right tackle, and he didn't play last year. He needs time too.
Mm-hmm.
These things don't fix in just 1 year. A lot of times they need some time. When we come back, I want to get into, there is a discrepancy on how the national media is approaching quarterback battles. And I think it's unfortunate. Predictable, but unfortunate. And I want to get into it.
Right.
Two quarterback battles and that are very similar, but the national media's approach to it is extremely different. We'll do that when we come back. It's 8:43 right here. Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC. Three great vehicles. I'm telling you, on the GMC side, the GMC Sierra 1500 Crew Cab is a great vehicle. On the Buick side, I love the Enclave. It is a beautiful crossover vehicle with great interior. It's got great interior space. But speaking of great interior space, I drive the crossover vehicle, the Chevy Traverse, and my wife ended up going to the Traverse as well. They have a hard time keeping those on the lot. They go off so quickly because they have more interior space. They have a great design and body type. And, you know, they have had some fantastic offerings in terms of the programs they've had available through lease and through purchase. Whether you're looking for an old school SUV like the Suburban or like the Tahoe, they've got them for you at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. And it's just one simple drive away. You head down to Angleton, you stop in, you're going to meet great people. It's the same people who have worked there for years. There's almost no turnover there. They have great space, a great selection. But most importantly, they make sure that you are happy with the car buying experience. From trade-in value to customer service to price, they've got it all. Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Start the car buying experience at LanceZCars.com.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and Chevy fan. Silverado, Tahoe, Traverse, or Chevy Cruze, your new vehicle is waiting at Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back. Hey, Sage Rosenfeld makes his debut today, just a half hour from now, on ESPN 97.5.
Are you going to be the first one? Are you going to ask about Rosencopter on the very first show out? Have you thought about it?
No, I'm not going to. There's no reason to ask him about Rosencopter. There's absolutely zero reason. It has nothing to do with here and now. The Houston
I feel like
Texans.
You're going to say something.
I'd much rather talk to him about Cal sitting on the floor.
Oh, no. It's...
Yeah.
You think he'll reiterate? I bet he'll say, I don't want to talk about that. I'm trying to get a gig as Texans ambassador. You think he's going to try to be a Texans ambassador?
I don't
ambassador
think so. I think he's doing a show in Chicago for the Bears. You know, he played for the Bears, so he's doing a show there. I don't know if he's, I don't know where he stands on the Texans organization, but he's a
place.
Midwest guy, an Iowa guy.
Probably the same place the rest of us do.
Oh, this is Mante Teo says, I once had a girlfriend that went to Bishop Sycamore. That's not.
That's where what Lanny Kakao went?
Yeah.
Is that her name?
Lanny Kakua.
Lanny Kakua.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. That is too funny. I once had a girlfriend that went to Bishop Sycamore. All right. So you had something that you wanted to talk about.
Yeah. I think it's. So there are two legitimate quarterback battles. One has been decided, one hasn't been, but one of them is in Chicago, where it's Justin Fields versus Andy Dalton. And let me lay out how everything went. Andy Dalton had the superior camp until a couple of weeks ago when out of nowhere there was a huge Thursday afternoon practice where Justin Fields just took off and had a great practice. And everyone, this is as the preseason was beginning to start. And I guess it was about 3 weeks ago. And so that weekend, so that was on a Thursday practice. On that Saturday, Justin Fields had a very good first preseason game. Now, Andy Dalton, they said, had been the clear leader in the clubhouse of that quote unquote quarterback battle, if there was one, even though Andy Dalton had been told previously it was his job, you know, to me, that job should be up for grabs. Mm-hmm. And so then in the next game, Justin Fields, not as good, 9 of 19, I think. He did do some things with his legs, though, had some pluses and some minuses. And after that, Andy Dalton is officially named the starting quarterback. You have Jeff Saturday coming out and like, I would, if I'm a player for that team, I would be so furious. I'd be ready to fight someone about Andy Dalton being over Justin Fields. Now, Justin Fields is a rookie. Andy Dalton is a veteran. We know who Andy Dalton is. And if, and at best, you hope to get a version of Andy Dalton that you saw at some point with the Bengals. At worst, you have a quarterback who is not going to be a starter for very long in Chicago. We know that to be the case. Justin Fields, with a couple years under his belt, even when mistake, when plays break down or if the protection isn't good, which I would tell you is, it's going to hurt a rookie, but at the same time, he has the legs to actually do something about it. Andy Dalton is not a statue. He can move around, but Andy Dalton is not going to make many plus plays if your offensive line isn't very good. But I would say the national media, that is one where everyone is all in on Justin Fields, all in on Justin Fields, despite the fact that really it has been a little closer quarterback battle, I think. And in fact, Andy Dalton
was winning. But is it about that as much as it is about getting the guy, your future on the field?
That's fine.
Yeah.
Stay with that. Keep that same energy. Now we move over to the New England Patriots and Cam versus Mac Jones, another first round quarterback. This first rounder has played as good as any rookie has. And keep in mind, this is a guy I thought was a second rounder. He has played as good as any rookie has in the preseason at quarterback. He was 11 for 12 in his last game. Cam Newton has had issues with, we know that he didn't show up. The head coach, Bill Belichick, who suffers no fools, has not named a starting quarterback. He, in one of Cam's games, he had a 17 and a 16 yard completion that were just literally screen passes. So 33 of his passing yards came on that, of like 70 yards total. Passing. Cam has been okay in preseason. Mac Jones has been very good in preseason, but only one touchdown pass, for what that's worth. No interceptions, one touchdown pass. I think Cam has had one touchdown pass as well. But Mac Jones has been actually way better than expected, has had no downtimes with that team. And yet the national media is just, boy, they're just not sure on that one. Like, that's still Cam, and everyone wants to see Cam win that. Cam Newton has had one great year his entire career. You can go look it up if you want in Pro Football Reference. He's had some good years. He's had one great year, and he was an MVP that year. Since that year, he has not been good. He has had shoulder injuries, but he's taken a lot of wear and tear because of the style of football he plays. Last year, he got off to a quick start and then was very bad after that. He wasn't good after having COVID. He continues to get COVID, you know, has had, obviously, you know, he's had his issues. He didn't test when everyone is told you tested the facility. It's the only test that count. He claimed that there's a misunderstanding when there is no misunderstanding. Everyone knows the only one that counts. I know that. I was told that. You don't think players are told that every day? They're tested every day if they haven't had the vaccine. And Cam hadn't had the vaccine. And despite the fact that last year it had an impact on how he played, it is very strange to me that people don't keep that same energy about, well, if this is your future as well, Mac Jones, who, if you want to say I'm about the best guy winning, and if it's Justin Fields, I'm cool with Justin Fields. If they said Justin Fields, to me, he's going to play this year, unless Andy Dalton is way better than I expect. And the question is, you don't want too many games to go sideways, but if they lose their first two games, the Bears, Justin Fields will be in by game three. They can't afford, their jobs are on the line. Matt Nagy can't afford not to win games. If he thinks Andy Dalton won't help him win, then he's got to make a change. The flip side of that coin is, if you take everything into account and you think Justin Fields is a guy, I'm not sure how you don't think Mac Jones is a guy, especially if your opinion is If this is your future, play your future. If that was your thought with Deshaun Watson, play your future.
Well, I think it's
Trevor Lawrence, play your future. If your idea is just play your future, if he's ready to
go. I think
it's
a little different situation in New England in that Cam played pretty well in the first few games before he got hurt. The shoulder got hurt. He played really poorly after that. But he played pretty well. He showed, hey, maybe New England can win something. They spent all this money on free agents in the offseason. They got a lot of their COVID opt-outs back. New England probably thinks that they're a better football team. Nagy right now is the coach on the hottest seat, and he's probably buying himself more time by playing Andy Dalton than Justin Fields.
Well, that's one way of looking at it. But you better the flip side can be true too. Can you believe that this guy, like, here's the Chicago radio?
Yeah.
Boy, unbelievable. The Bears end up finishing 10-7 and you catch a heater. No, they end up finishing 9-8. They catch a heater with the Fields kid and they end up going 8-3 with the Fields kid. You're stuck with the other kid, Dalton, for this long, and Nagy ends up screwing the Bears and, more importantly, Bears fans out of a playoff because he's going with the redhead kid. The Red Rifle, they call him. Can you believe that, Charlie? The Red Rifle. That's more like a pop gun.
They can't be dumber. They're the dumbest.
It's the dumbest team in the league.
No, he's dumb. Pace is dumb. You got to get rid of every one of
both
them.
Both of them. Blow it up.
Beat it.
Blow it up the whole thing.
You suck.
They stick beat with it. The guy, Dalton, and then they could have made the playoffs if not for their
Chicago deserves better.
They deserve better, honestly.
They all deserve a Ditka.
I mean, look who they had.
This team deserves better. Did you say Nagy and Ditka in the same sentence?
I take Lovie Smith to Jerry Angelo back at this point. I swear on everything. I take Phil Emery back. And that guy was the worst. Instead, look, Pace is a handsome person. I'm not saying he's not. My wife loves Ryan Pace. She's like, I hope he stays here forever. I'm like, this guy's a bum. He brought in the Red Rifle. What are we doing? What? He drafted a tackle and had a broken back.
Thank God your wife don't own the Bears. I'll tell you that now.
I wish she did, honestly, because she'd be worse than the McCaskies.
The McCaskies are terrible. The whole thing is terrible.
The whole thing, blow it
now,
all up.
Hey, why don't you just move to Arlington Park, because you suck right now.
Absolutely.
We don't want you on the Lakeshore.
Open a team in Napier Valley or whatever, Naperville. Open up a team in Naperville with the other Richies and run an XFL over there. The Bears deserve better than Andy Dalton.
Oh, user.
The Bears deserve Justin Fields. They deserved him in week one, not week four. Matt Nagy screwed the whole city. He's got to go.
You got it. What you got to do is you got to get some insurance.
TGS. Insurance. Oh, it's a great insurance company. 23, 23, 23. You text that in 15 seconds, you got a quote. How much are you paying for your homeowner's insurance? You're looking and say, oh my God, I had no idea what I was paying here. It's taken out of my account every 6 months. It comes out of my account. And then you text 23, 23, 23, and you type money. That's what you send to it. You send it to this number. Two, three Jordans. Michael Jordan times three. 23, 23, 23. You send that in. They give you a quote back in 15 seconds. Unbelievable. And you can switch over that same day and get yourself some homeowner's insurance that's A-rated, but at the same time, it's also got a much better price point for you. You put more of your money back in your pocket so you don't have to spend it on the Bears. Make sure that you get TGSinsurance.com. Do what I tell you, TGSinsurance.com.
ESPN 97.5.